London Calling, David here. This is part two of Tom the Barrister's interview talk about the famous Square Mile Walk.
This sounds like an unashamed plug, but you know, I'm convinced that you know, that network of, I like to call them capillaries, those tiny little alleyways, you know, it's so complicated, it's so intricate, that really you do need a guide if you're going to get a lot out of a visit to the City of London. I mean, surely, please don't disagree with me, Tom.
I don't see why I shouldn't.
No, it's the case, isn't it? Surely. You know, the West End and Westminster, that's, it's so much more obvious, it seems to me, than what's 1 mile east, as it were, or 2 miles east.
There is a sense that when you go through some of the alleyways, because they twist and turn, they're obviously not on a grid system, that people lose sense of direction. Mm-hmm. And I've certainly had people who said to me that they would, one, never have known they were there if I hadn't shown them. Mm-hmm. And two, they have no idea where they are when they're in them. Mm. And although, actually, for the most part, it's a small area that you're going to be showing them where these alleyways are, because, you know, the city is small. It's very much stepping back into a twisty, turny world. Mm-hmm. And it does, I'm sad to say, help to have a guide do that. So, regrettably, I am agreeing with you.
For once. For once.
Well, there has to be an occasion. After all, it's Monday morning. But people do, people do quite naturally like this. When you turn a corner and you see a old churchyard that's now a garden, it has a small wow factor. And when you see the juxtaposition between the old church and the gherkin, it has a wow factor. Mm-hmm. When you walk into Leadenhall Market, which is quite different from anywhere else in London, this 19th century iron frame 1881 market where produce was sold to the city, completely overstated in its repainted colour scheme, kitsch to the nth degree, then there is a wow about that as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people don't expect to see this. The first glimpse on some of the routes they get is down a side street, and you see people responding, thinking, my goodness, what's that down there? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when they end up going into it, 98% of people who go through it think it's fantastic. And you go out of that, and then you go, you know, to somewhere like the Royal Exchange, where if it's open and you go through the centre of the Royal Exchange, again, it's a 19th century building, but far more considerately designed in a way, in terms of not being over the top so much. Mm-hmm. But beautifully restored inside, and suddenly there's an outpost of the Royal Grocers, Fortnum and Mason, in front of you. Mm-hmm. And this unexpected item and place that you go to time after time after time on the walk is probably one of the things that people remember. They might not remember much that the guide says, perhaps, but they, why should they, but they might well remember, my goodness, look, I remember that view, or I remember going in there, and God, I had no idea that something like this existed, etc. And that's good, because it also means after the walk that people might go and do other things around the area.
That's one sign of a good walk. If you you lose your bearings,
it's especially a good sign of a guide.
It's not a good sign of a guide. Stop it now. Just stop being outrageous.
But I wonder, you know, I'd be surprised if, as guys, we haven't done that at one time or another.
Yeah. Well, we
whether the group is known is a different matter.
Yeah. I've just actually in this past year developed, is the word a metric for taking the measure of, for evaluating walking tours? And this new metric, it's amazing that it took me 40 years to think of this, but I actually count the number of places I take them to that cars can't get to and or go along. And the more of those, the better the walk. I mean, to put it crudely, that's in my estimation. And that certainly must be the case in the City of London. That metric must be almost a chart topper.
Well, the city is a little bit different in that even some of the small medieval side streets have minimal traffic at all.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the city has guarded itself by the security ring around it. So even if you're in a small street, it's not the same as being in the area around Trafalgar Square, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right to a degree, but you can extend it in the city because there are so many places you go where you're going to see minimal, if any, traffic at all.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, from a walking point of view, it's more of an enriching experience if there isn't a lot of noise from traffic around, and that the modern world doesn't appear to impinge so much in what you're trying to look at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the city is different in the traffic sense altogether.
Uh-huh.
And it is incredible when you think about it, that you burn the place down in 1666, basically, and then you don't take the opportunity to rebuild it with wider streets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that one decision, not quite serendipity, I suspect, but that one decision means that when you get to the 21st century, then the streets remain as narrow as they always were.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not designed for traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you do have to avoid bicycles on.
And guides who aren't looking where they're going.
And guides are not looking where they're going, yes.
Yes.
And people are on the walk who are looking at something and walk off in the wrong direction.
Yes, they have to be. It's a little bit like counting sheep, isn't it? They have to be recovered and things
yes,
like
I'm,
that.
Yes, I did notice your reference to sheep.
Tom, the square mile is not the only walk that we do in the city. There must be five or six of them.
Yes,
and
there are.
That's probably another measure of just how astonishingly rich the city is.
That, yeah.
I mean, basically that Westminster walk, we can do kind of two or three through there, but I think the city you can do at least twice that many. I mean, we've got
yes,
and Shakespeare and Dickens.
You can choose to go down the route of a slew of names like hidden, secret, etc.
Uh huh.
Ancient, or of course you can be thematic and the Blitzkrieg, the lightning bombing raids of World War II. Greatly affected the shape of the city.
Uh-huh.
It's one reason that it's been able to be developed in the way dynamically that it has, oddly. Mm-hmm. But clearly you can use that as a way of showing the city as well. And then occasionally you can have walks which are associated with architecture. It's almost endless. I've in my time, I've done financial walks even, where people have, from particularly from companies, have wanted a walk round so that they get a handle on the 2,000 years of financial trading in the city. It's very capable of different approaches, and I think it's possible to do a route and then do another walk which actually goes over some of that route, but you may not hear the same things. You probably won't, because it'll depend on the nature of the walk, the name of the walk you're doing. So
the grandpappy of all of those city walks is this one that we're focusing on today, the famous square mile.
This is, you could argue, this is one of the essential walks to go on if you are going to come to London, to understand the centre of London, these two twin cities on one side, the city of Westminster, on the other side, the city of London, to get a grip on the city of London, then this is the essential walk to do.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that if you don't do a walk in the city, the square mile walk, you've missed London in a sense. You've not got it.
You've certainly missed part of the beating heart of London, yes.
Uh-huh.
That is absolutely correct.
And it's probably the case that part of London that is well known to visitors, again, the West End and Westminster, that you don't fully understand it until you've been over to the city and begun to get a handle on it. Is that right?
Yes. Each has its own benefit and context.
Uh-huh.
And each are a part of the way London is.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of understanding how London has come about, you could not visit the city. It is where it all began. Westminster is that newfangled place, and in some ways the atmosphere is a bit like that.
Uh-huh.
I think on top of that, once you've done those two, I think one of the third elements is a village walk in London. Because that also, these areas around the centre that were once villages add their own component to make London what it is.
Okay, we'll end on this note. A couple of practicals. Well, first of all, where does it start? And secondly, and you can help us out here with this, because we are forever getting calls from people. I'm here, and I can't find the guide. Well, they've gone out of the wrong exit, haven't they? So can you spell that out? Where are they going to find you?
The very simple thing is to know that if you find the monument, which is the column which relates to the Great Fire of London, the column itself 202 feet high, so it's pretty clear and very well known. If you come out of the wrong exit, find the monument, and the underground exit close to the monument is where we meet.
And the tube stop itself is the monument.
It could be bank or monument, depending on which line you're using.
And as mischievous as you are, they can have every confidence that you are not going to be playing hide and seek, that you're not going to be hiding behind the monument or behind some shrubs over there.
No, I don't guide as you do, David.
you're going to be in full view just outside the Fish Street Hill exit.
Yes, yes.
Monument Tombstone.
Fish Street Hill is the road that runs down, a little road that runs down where the monument is. So.
a bad David joke.
If they can't find you,
there's something fishy about the exit they've come out of. Come out of the wrong exit. Yeah.
Yes.
And where does it often end anyway? Approximately.
I think guides do end in different places.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to end in the area around anywhere around the Bank of England to Guildhall Yard, basically.
Uh huh.
That's the sort of area.
And what about an efficient use of their time? So they do the walk. And obviously you can make recommendations about where they can get a bite to eat, but what about another quote-unquote attraction that they can visit that's not
many of us, of course, go on walks more or less on the spur of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not the guys. We usually know we're doing it. but if you have planned it, which, you know, many people also do, I would try and plan in a visit to somewhere like the Sky Garden as well.
Uh-huh.
There is also a very good display which is in the new Bloomberg building, which includes the layout of a Roman temple discovered just after World War II, now in this display. And you can try to go and see that as well. That's another free thing.
Very good.
There are lots of places, cafes and things, theoretically, although some have not reopened after the pandemic, but there's now quite a bit of life in the city again.
Yeah, yeah. You say that that's another free thing, as if you're saying that your expertise and your guiding is free, and it's certainly not. But you're worth every penny, Tom.
Of course. there is a difference between a free view from a building and being given an insight into how a place has become as it is, I think.
Well, you certainly do make free with your vast knowledge and your expertise and your experience and your sense of fun.
But there are, of course, several of us who do Famous Square Mile, and each one of us brings something different.
Mm-hmm.
But the commonality between all the guides, I think, who do the Famous Square Mile is that we know it and we do love it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously like people coming on my walks, but all the other guides will produce a superb experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't do the city, do you?
Shakespeare and Dickens in the city.
Shakespeare and Dickens. I should have mentioned Shakespeare and Dickens.
Yeah. But, you know, to be perfectly frank, as experienced a guide as I am, I've shied off from doing the Square Mile because it is so intricate and complicated and historically rich. You know, I feel as though I've got, a pretty good hand on the rudder with Shakespeare and Dickens. But, yeah, the Square Mile, that's, you know, no, that's... That's for you.